Amen. Amen. I want to try and finish the message that we started a couple of weeks ago on Joseph's Gentile bride. How she is a type of the church. Joseph in type is a type of Christ. His bride in type is a type of the church. In Genesis chapter 41, we have the story of this. When Joseph was brought out of prison to interpret the dream that Pharaoh had had, and he interpreted it correctly and he showed the godly wisdom, the Pharaoh wanted to have Joseph on his team, and he wanted to bless Joseph. So he changed Joseph's name, and he gave Joseph a bride. And all of that's in Genesis 41, 45 through 57. I'm not going to take time to read everything, but there are a couple of highlights I want to make. Joseph was 30 years old when this was taking place. He was about 17 when he was sold by his brothers and carried down into Egypt. So you can see that he had spent quite a few years already in Egypt, mostly in prison. While he was there, he had interpreted some dreams, but now was the big opportunity. And he explained to Pharaoh what those dreams meant. There was going to be 7 years of abundance. There was going to be 7 years of starvation and drought. And if you prepare properly in the 7 years of abundance, then you'll be okay in the 7 years of drought. And it so impressed Pharaoh that he said, I want you to have this lady as your wife. And he gave Asenath. Asenath means belonging to Neith, the goddess of the delta, or the goddess of handicraft. She was the daughter of Potipherah, who was a priest of On, O-N. It was a ungodly religion. So the 7 years of abundance came, and Joseph traveled throughout the country because he was just second to Pharaoh. And he collected that harvest that was so plentiful, and he put it in store. And then those 7 years ended, and the 7 years of dearth started, and the people were starving, and they started crying out. And this was a countrywide, and it spread even to that part of the world. And people were coming to Egypt because there was food there, and it was all because of Joseph. Now, this all adds up to make the life of Joseph an amazing story, not only on the providence of God, but the power of God. But Joseph is a testimony of faith and walking by faith and overcoming obstacles by faith. So he has this bride, and I brought out even the first week that there's three brides in the Bible that really speak of the church. And they show pictures of the church. Eve is a picture of creation, the creation of the church. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deep, and all out of chaos came suddenly God speaking, and the worlds were formed, and the universe was formed, and all that is was formed, and then man was formed, and then woman from the rib of man. And first there was Adam, but then there was Eve. And first there was the Jewish nation, and God betrothed himself to them and said, "You will be my bride, and out of you will come the Savior." And when Jesus was walking the earth, he looked forward to the church, and we became his bride. And all of that's a part of creation. Then there was Rebecca, and it was the calling of the church. It's not enough that we're living during the times of the New Testament, but a decision has to be made. Will you go with this man? Just because you were born to Christian parents, or just because you were born in America, or just because you were born during these New Testament times, does not mean that you belong to Jesus and that you're a part of the bride. You have to choose to be. And that's where Rebecca comes in. She saw all the great gifts, all the beautiful things, but she had to make a decision. And Laban looked at her and said, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Every one of us that have been saved, we made that decision and we made that declaration. "I will. I will give myself. I will be under you. You will be my Lord. You will be my Savior." And now there's Asenath. And she's a perfect picture of the church. In coronation, she was a bride that was called out of obscurity. She really had very little to do with it, but she said, "I will go, and I will be." She had a sinful past, but in that moment of decision, that sinful past was put under the blood, and it was eliminated. She grew up, she was born with a name that says given by the sun god. But when she met the real God, and Joseph told her all about God, you can bank on that. I don't have words of scripture that says so, but you can bank on it. She surrendered to not only Joseph, but to God. She didn't know him, but God knew her. You might not have known God at one time, but God knew you. And he had his eyes set on you. So that brings us to point two. The point one was she had a sinful past, her sinful past. Point two is her special place. If you've got an outline, you can write that down. When Joseph came out of prison, he was elevated to a position of great power and great majesty, much pomp and circumstance. He was made to sit at Pharaoh's right hand. When Joseph was elevated, the bride that was given to him was elevated also. Not because of who she was, but because of what she was. She was the bride of Joseph, who had been elevated to a place of great, great power. Where he went, she went. The church is connected to Christ. So when Christ is elevated, the church is elevated with him because we are his bride. And we will share and be heirs and joint heirs with everything that's been given to him. And he's been given all authority. So as a part of his bride, we share in all of that. Asenath was from a prominent pagan family. She was the daughter of a well-known priest. But when she became the wife of Joseph, she finds herself the bride of one of the most powerful men in all of Egypt, all of the known world. But Asenath did not achieve this honor on her own. She was picked out by Pharaoh and given to Joseph. The Bible says that you and I have been chosen in Christ. So we have been chosen and given to Christ. We had very little to do with it except say, I will. And that is necessary. Because God will not save you against your will. He saves you with your will. So Asenath was given to Joseph just as the church has been given to Christ. There was no special merit in Asenath. She was the object of a sovereign choice, just as we are. Nothing is said about Asenath, if you check the record, about her great looks, her great talent, or anything else. But just reading between the lines, old Lewis 2 and 4 here, she had to be pretty good looking to be given to Joseph. Because Joseph, we know, was a handsome young man. The Bible says that. So for him to be given Asenath, she must have been a looker. You can mark that down in your book too. One thing that really stands out about Joseph, he did not get into that polygamous ways that were prevalent during those days. There was one, and that was enough. Jesus is not polygamous. He has one bride, and it's the church. And he has betrothed himself to her, just as Joseph betrothed himself to her, Asenath. Again, in all these things, Asenath is pictured, is a beautiful picture of the bride of Christ because she was a gift. Oh, my friend, you are a gift. You are a gift. John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying when he said that. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the ones who come to me, I will in no means cast out. Every person who is saved by grace, every person who mercy and grace has touched, it's the grace being chosen by God, handpicked for the honor of being a part of the bride. John 15, 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will give that to you." When you've been elevated to a place of such prominence in Christ, whatever you ask of the Father, He will give it. There is no other explanation for the choice that He made of me or you or Asneth except grace, His great love for the lost, God's compassion for the lost. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." God chose me. God chose you in eternity past, before the worlds were ever formed. God had already started work. He already knew you, and He knew me. "For He chose us," Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. And He called us to come to Jesus." John 6, 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at that last day." So much for your decision that I'll get saved when I'm ready. No, you won't. "No man cometh unto me unless the Father draws them." And there comes a time, the Bible says, when His Spirit will no longer interact with man's spirit. So there's a time when God will say, "Nope. No more." When you and I came by faith, we were saved and brought out of our sins and our lost past was covered with the blood of Christ and done away with. And you and I were totally free, and we should be living like we are sin free, not living on the razor's edge to see how close we can get to sin, but in the middle of His grace. Not only did He save us from our sins, but He elevated us. He did this in two precious ways. First of all, He elevated us by changing our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm not the person I used to be. I remember when I was pastoring in Fernandina, one of my old friends, an Australian friend, called me up. He was a horse breaker, and he worked at the horse farm, and he and I got to be very close. But he called me one day, and he says, "Bernie." I said, "Brock." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Man, you call me up here? How'd you find me?" He said, "I ran into your cousin, and I asked him where you were. I've been wanting to talk to you." I said, "Okay." He said, "What in the world has happened to you. You're different. I said, yeah, I am. Jesus happened to me. And we spent an hour on the phone talking, and we ended up, I prayed for Brock. My prayer is still, that was 35 years ago. I hope that he's still walking with Jesus. When you and I were saved, our lives were changed. He gave us a new birth. We became a new creature. And he made us that new creature in Christ. He lifted us out of the muck and the mire of our sins. And he set our feet upon the pathway that leads to eternity in heaven with Jesus and the glory of God, and surrounded by that. He changed our lives and made us alive to the very things of God, that you and I can see what others cannot see. We hear what others don't hear. He gave us a new nature. He lifted us out of the mess that Adam had left us in when he sold our birthright to Satan for a bite of an apple or a fruit. In Adam, all men became sin, but in Christ, we can be set free and at liberty. And we can be pleasing to God. The second way that he made us so different is when we were saved, God put Jesus into our heart. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, he lifted us up and made us to sit with him in his throne. You see, our Savior, like Joseph, suffered a time of humiliation, rejection, hardship. Joseph was in prison for all those many years, but he was being prepared for a palace. He could not go from the prison to the palace without some preparation. He needed to get ready. And God was preparing him because he was a little prideful. Jesus went through a time of suffering, not because of pride, but because of humility. He came to die for you, and he came to die for me, and he died upon a cruel cross, and he descended into the grave. And for 3 days, he descended into hell. And there he preached to those who were being held captive. And then he took the keys away from Satan, all authority. He took Satan's authority. The keys are always a sign of authority. And Jesus took those keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he unlocked every prisoner that was being held there that would go with him. And he said, come on, guys. And he led captivity captive and took them back to the Father. Son. That's good stuff. And when he took them to heaven, he took his place at the right hand of the Father. When you and I came to him by faith, he lifted us up out of our sin, and he caused us to sit with him upon the throne. You'd walk into the Egyptian court, you'd see Joseph sitting on a throne, and right beside him was Asenath. I was a mean, dirty, nasty sinner. I was not kind. But I today sit in heavenly places with Christ. If you're saved and serving Jesus, you're as good for heaven as if you were already there. If you're saved, your past is gone, and you enjoy every blessing that He has for us. And one day our heavenly bridegroom is going to come back for His only bride. He's going to come in the air, and every eye will see Him. We'll look up at that moment, and He'll say, "Come up here with me." And we'll be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Those in the grave will beat us to the punch. They're already prepared. But they'll spring forth. And then all of us who are, and I say all of us who are, because I believe it's going to be in my lifetime. And I don't have a whole lot of lifetime tacked on to the end of this thing. So we're going to go pretty quick, I hope. I think. I believe. We'll be changed. We'll catch up with the ones who were going up out of the grave. Because it says together we'll be caught up. So they might be first, but we got speed on our side. Jesus redeemed us from the cross. When He redeemed us, He secured us. When He rose from the dead, He says, "You're mine. I claim you." And one day, that claim is going to come true. And we'll be with Him forever. And we'll rule and reign with Him. But it's not us that's important. So don't focus on the church. It's Jesus that's important. Just as it was Joseph who was important. You and I are just with Him. It does not matter who I am. It does not matter what I've done. What really matters is that Jesus is in me. And all that matters is Jesus and the Father. And the only thing that I can ask you this morning, are you a part of the bride? Have you said, "I will," to Jesus? Have you personally accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? And if you said to Him, "I'll go with you. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll go." Have you personally asked Him to forgive you of your sins? Because no sin can enter the gates of that city whose founder and maker is God. You'll leave those here, and it's best to leave them now. The moment you say, "Forgive me, wash my sins away," they fall off like a dirty dish rag, and you are clean, clear through, because you're covered in the blood of Christ. But then, as you walk, you continue to be cleansed as you say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. Forgive me. And we place it under the blood and it's gone. I don't have time this morning to get into the third part, the sovereign part. But I've covered what needed to be covered, I think. If you're watching online, if you're sitting here, friend, do yourself a tremendous favor. Bow your heart right now and say, Jesus, I want to be a part of that bride. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Write my name in the book. I will go with you. You can be my Lord and you can be my Savior. I receive you. That's all you have to do. And then you start living for Him and with Him. And be a part of His bride. So would you bow your heads with me for a moment, please? Father, we're a part of the bride. We're a part of your masterpiece. We're a part of your love letter to the world. Jesus, what an honor it is to serve you. What an honor it is to know that you live in my heart. Life changed so much for Asenath when she was presented to Joseph, just as our life has changed so much when we were presented to you. God, I praise you. I thank you that you've made me a part of the bride of Christ. Thank you for loving me and dying for me and saving me and for allowing me to have a part in your kingdom of this world. What an awesome blessing. It's bigger than I can understand. I don't know why you would choose me, but thank you for doing that. And now all of these that you're choosing and you have chosen, as they present themselves to you and they say, here I am, Lord. Take me. Forgive me. Come into my heart and make me a new creature. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Jesus, I ask that you would step into their lives. Send your Holy Spirit and change them forever. How awesome you are. God, forgive us where we failed you. Let us walk with you. Thank you for everything, Jesus. We love you. Amen. And amen. If you're not serving Jesus the way that you should, when are you going to start? And what better time to start than this morning, right now? Serve Him the way that He deserves. as the majesty of heaven, the Savior of the world, the very Son of God. Treat Jesus that way. It's been great to have walked through this with you. Thank you so much for being here. Those of you who have tuned in online, thank you so much for being here. Our family there and our family here, but together we make up the family of First Assembly of God. Just like we have a family in heaven, and we have a family here in the church on earth. But one day we'll be united together. And I look forward to the family of First Assembly getting back together and the family of Christ getting back together. Amen.